I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Under center on third and short, handoff, brought down behind the line, loss of a yard, cutting down Latavius Murray. The pressure coming from big bad Akeem Hicks. Fourth down, Vikings will punt. A three and out forced by one of the best defenses in the NFL.
First quarter opening drive of the game for the Bears. They'll try to get points. Snap and placement is down. Cody Parkey's kick is up, and the kick is good. And the crowd goes nuts here at Soldier Field. A 3-0 Bears lead here in the first quarter.
Under center, hands off Cook with a
ball,
bit of a
ball.
Hesitation move and a fumble, and the ball is recovered.
It looks like
by the Bears
at the 15-yard line of Minnesota's giving it away. The Bears have taken it away. Dalvin Cook, his third NFL fumble after seven in college.
Trubisky's flanked by Cohen and Howard. They peel Cohen off beyond the numbers to the right side with Miller and Robinson. Trubisky looks it over, takes the snap, rolling to his right. Trubisky flips it into the end zone. Low throw. It is caught for the touchdown. Anthony Miller, right side of the end zone, and the celebration begins. They're in a rowboat right now and having fun in the south end zone at Soldier Field. 9-0 Bears.
And Trubisky, a slot receiver as well as Cousins, awaits the snap with Dalvin Cook to his right. Takes it, four-man rush, big push. Floyd hits Cousins as he throws an interception at the 8-yard line. Running to the near side, Adrian Amos. Amos looking for blockers right at the 20-yard line of the 25. To the 30-yard line, and out of bounds, Adrian Amos
digs out left, Thielen to the right side with Cushion, back to throw, they're going to pop it to Dalvin Cook, makes the catch, but hit hard by Akeem Hicks. Immediately, the pressure was coming from the linebacker level, and Danny Trevathan, and Akeem Hicks jumped down for a 2-yard loss.
And now, it's time for the Scores Bears postgame show, with your hosts, Olin Krutz, James Big Cat Williams, and senior score football expert, Hub Arkish, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's home for Bears fans.
Good evening, Chicago. That was fun, wasn't it? Everybody having a good time so far? The Chicago Bears are the victors. 25-20 as they knock off the Minnesota Vikings. It would seem that questions about whether this team is for real or not were answered rather emphatically tonight. There's a ton to go over. We're going to have a great time with you the next 2 hours. Out here at the Piazza in Aurora, we are at 85 Executive Drive, right southwest corner of the Fox River Valley Mall, I believe. Great, great spot to watch a game, guys. These 36-foot high-def TVs are unbelievable, and it was fun to watch tonight. So much to go over with these Chicago Bears and Minnesota Vikings. Olin Krutz, James Big Cat Williams are here alongside. We're going to take your phone calls at 312-644-6767. Again, give us a call if you want to talk about the game. 312-644-6767. We are here at the Piazza, courtesy of our friends at Bud Light. We are brought to you by Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Still got some great Bud Light specials going on. As a matter of fact, I'm told you have the draft, you get to keep the glass. Not a bad deal. Lots of glasses on some of these tables. A lot of folks having a good time. Guys, I don't really know where to start. I mean, I think we got to start on defense. There's not much question about that. We have seen a lot of great defenses for the Chicago Bears, James. You know, everybody talks still about 85. There was your group in 01. There was the 06 Super Bowl team, even all the way to 2010, 2012 under Lovie. This defense, I think, may be the first one that people may soon be starting to make comparisons to 85.
Yeah, you look at this defense. Well, you look at the pieces they've put together. When you talk about that D-line, having the opportunity to have Hicks in there, who is a guy that has proved over and over again that you can't block him one-on-one. Then you add Mack to that. You know, they're just waiting. They need one more piece to fall in place coming off of the edge. And, yeah, you're talking about a defense that is gonna that is stacked across the board. You're two young inside linebackers, you know, that fly to the ball. You seem to have gotten the corner and safety situation figured out, which for the last few years we've been talking a lot about that they needed help. But, yeah, it's a defense that's coming around. They look good. Prime time, they look great.
Yeah, look, in their first prove it game under Matt Nagy, right, Cat? And everybody's saying, are the Bears for real? Because they haven't beat a team with a winning record yet. The Vikings come into this year heavily favored to win the NFC North, right? And here's what we do in Chicago, and I was a part of it for a long time. We like to get games happen, and we like to split the team and say the defense, well, how the defense was amazing, right? Okay, great. Look, the Bears had to go out today and win today's game. Coach Nagy, how was he going to perform under pressure? How was this Chicago Bears team going to handle the limelight that they haven't been in, Cat, for years, right? How were they going to handle the pressure? And they handled it well. They took it to the Vikings team, and the point of the exercise is to win the game. And the Chicago Bears came out and did what they had to do to win the game. And we have to stop saying, well, the defense is great, but the offense, look, that's all great. That's all great. Listen. Listen, if the offense had two first-round picks on the field, if the offense had the most expensive offensive player in the game, if the offense had two offensive linemen that made $40 million a year too, we may be talking about the offense here today, but we're not. We're talking about the Chicago Bears winning the game today and leading the NFC North.
All right, let's blow that up a little bit, Olin, because let's talk about the offense for a minute. They were a big part of the story in the first half. I think what happened in the second half is the Minnesota Vikings are one of the best defenses in the NFL, too, and Mike Zimmer made some really nice adjustments. One of the things that impressed me the most about the offense tonight is, whether it was by accident or intentionally, they figured out how to make Jordan Howard a part of the game plan, and it clearly made a difference because the Vikings were just not able to consistently pressure he had some pressure, but not the way that Kirk Cousins was being pressured.
Right, and a lot of that, Cat, is like me and you know, right? Going to this game, everybody's talking about what D-line would affect this game the most. Now, as former offensive linemen, we know when you're up there in Minnesota in the dome on turf with that crowd noise, this D-line from Minnesota is a totally different D-line you're going against when you're up there. At home today, the Chicago Bears crowd shows up, forces Minnesota to use silent count, right? And now good luck blocking Mack, Hicks, Floyd. Fangio makes great adjustments. Howard was a factor early in the game. The run game still has a long way to go, Cat. And I think a lot of that is Matt Nagy and his coaches learning what they want to do with the run game, how to cover up some of how to hide some of what they want to do. Because look, you're not going to slam it at the number five defense in the league. You got to trick them a little bit. You got to get some wide plays. Now, they did it early in the first half, right, Cap? But I don't know about you, but I didn't see much of that in the second half.
No, they've got to be able to come out. They've got to be able to run Howard. They've got to be able to run plays when they're not just handing it off to Howard, even though he's in there. You know, they're getting into a little bit of a routine. I think that they came out this week. They gave Howard the ball a few more times. It might have just been to quiet people down. You know what I mean? Because they didn't really stick with it the way that you would have liked to have seen them stick with it when you talk about running Howard. And I mean, my thing is, Howard is that guy that you're going to have to run 15 to 20-something times just to get him revved up.
Right.
Once he gets revved up, once he gets those shoulders parallel to the line of scrimmage and he's moving forward, he's a very hard guy to tackle. And once he's plowing in there over and over and over again, nobody wants to come up and hit him.
Yeah, and I think that all of that has to be talked about. I understand that, but we don't want to get too far away from the 7-3-3 Chicago Bears.
Oh, no,
right?
No. They're leading the NFC North,
right? I mean, they're doing what they have to do to win these games. Now, have they had a favorable schedule? Yes. Look, in 2001, Cat, we had a favorable schedule. We went 13-3 and had a home game. Look, the Chicago Bears haven't had a playoff in a long time, and today Hearing the broadcast team say if they won today's game, I think it went up to like 82 or 83%. I'm not a big percentage guy, so you got to excuse my math. But they're a lot closer to a home playoff game if they win the NFC North. And in that building where they have been the last 3 or 4 years with a brand new head coach, they got to be damn excited tonight.
You know, I think in looking at, again, we want to talk about everything that went right. Mitch Trubisky is clearly, I shouldn't say clearly, Mitch Trubisky is doing more with his legs right now than he is with his arm. But I'm really impressed with his arm a little bit more each week. Now, unfortunately, what happened tonight is he made a couple young quarterback throws. He put the ball in places that he really shouldn't have put it, and he hadn't been doing that the last couple weeks. But guys, speak to it. I mean, how long, realistically, for an NFL quarterback does it take before you can assume that those kind of throws aren't going to happen?
I don't know. I never had the opportunity to play.
That would be my point, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Never, right? Never. Those throws are never not going to happen. You've seen Aaron Rodgers make a bad throw at the end of the game against the Seahawks, right? So these games are never not going to happen. Is Trubisky, could you pick apart tonight's game and say he made two horrible interceptions? Yes. Those were bad throws. He got fooled by a very good a Viking secondary. When you watch these guys on film, the combo coverages they play, Cat, Harrison Smith, the way he sells if he's coming or not, then he runs back to the middle of the field, the way he makes you check plays. Tonight, the best way to learn, Cat, like you know, is after a win, right? So you get your head up, you go in that building, and if you're Mr. Trubisky like he has been doing, you're honest with yourself and you say, I got to get better. This was not good enough if we want to go where we want to go.
Yeah, and that's what they talk about. They talk about being able to take film like this and get better from it. So he does not come out 2 weeks in a row. He does not come out on Thanksgiving and make the same mistakes that he made tonight.
You know, guys, there's one more thing I want to talk about. We'll get to the phones in a minute, 312-644-6767. But something I'm pretty sure I saw, I really look forward to watching the tape, and normally it would be tomorrow morning. I may have to look at this tonight because I'm almost sure of this. For all the great things we saw, I mean, it's easy to find Khalil Mack. It's easy to find Akeem Hicks. It's easy to find Tariq Cohen. In the first half, Adam Thielen has been the best receiver in the NFL all year long. Bryce Callahan pretty much erased him. He was not a factor in the first half. So much so that I know the Vikings cried uncle. They moved him outside in the second half, and that's when he started to make some plays.
Yeah, and a lot of that, Hub, though, is, I'm not going to take away from Callahan who's having a great year, but a lot of that is Khalil Mack erasing everything. Because, look, when you put Thielen in the slot, guess what you got to go to? Three wide receivers. You go to three wide receivers, guess who's chipping Mack? A running back. So you got to put two tight ends on the field so you get an extra blocker, right, Cat? So you get an extra blocker, you get an extra big body out there. So as much as I want to give Callahan credit, he is playing great. A lot of that is Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, Floyd. These guys, Fangio realizing that Mack's getting chipped and blitzing Roquan Smith to Trevathan. A lot of that is that the Bears front four dominated tonight's game, plain and simple.
Yeah, and I think you saw that Minnesota realized that coming out of the second half, and they made an exerted effort to get him the ball in the second half. They were going to try and get the ball into his hands, and you know they did it. They made it a little closer than you wanted it to be, but like you said, all areas stepped up. Special teams, they made their field goals and extra points today.
Yes.
Hey, hats off to Cody Parkey. He came back and had a strong game, man. Seemed like they were a little worried about it there towards the end, but he made his kicks.
Yeah, and I think it really was probably more made of it than should have been last week. I mean, they did win the game by 12 points. I actually thought it was really cool that he could hit the uprights four times in one game. Manley actually said it the best. I think it was when we were off the air. He said what would be the coolest thing of all would be if he came out on his first kick and hit the upright and said, see, I told you I could do it on purpose. You know, it's but good for the kid. I mean, he was perfect tonight. And by the way, more than right down the middle for the most part. He was not messing around out there. And it's always good to see for one of these young men. 312-644-6767. Mike is in Peoria. Mike, you are our first phone call this evening. How you doing?
I'm good, Hubs. Hey, Akeem Hicks obviously has been the best player on this defense as far, you know, you can say what you want about Khalil Mack, but Akeem Hicks deserves all the credit in the world. But bigger point with me, and I don't mean to be negative, is, you know, Jordan Howard, first half, Jordan Howard's getting 4 yards, 5 yards. It seemed like almost every first down carry. Like, why in the third quarter did Matt Nagy go away from the inside zone run and go with, it seemed like, Tariq Cohen on the outside zone run? It almost seems like Nagy's almost like outsmarting himself sometimes. Jordan Howard finally got going tonight, and it seemed like we went away from him.
Well, Mike, first of all, and obviously we'll let Olin and Kat speak for themselves, I do not agree with you. Akeem Hicks is a great, great football player. Khalil Mack is the most dominant defensive player I've seen in 4 or 5 years. So it's really nice to have both of them on the same team. But, you know, if I got to pick one, I'm probably going to go Mack. As far as Howard, guys, I just said I got to go back and watch the tape. I thought they used him better tonight. No, they didn't. I think some people aren't going to be happy until he gets 34 carries in a game again, and that's not going to happen with this offense. So, you know, Mike, my answer would be I think that they got better with it tonight. You know, whether it's good enough or enough yet, that remains to be seen.
Yeah, and I don't think they used him in the wrong way. I mean, they have to figure out what Howard actually is for them, because a lot of the stuff that they want to run has to deal with motion, and Cohen is better built for that. He's a better type of runner for the type of trickery that they like to run. So, you know, he is going to get the ball a little bit more. It gives them more options when he's in the backfield right now. So I think until they come up with exactly what they want to do with Howard, how they want to use him, how they have to use him, you know, everybody's going to have their opinion about it. But as long as they keep on winning.
Yeah, it's hard. But listen, as far as Akeem Hicks goes, there's one guy in L.A. who I can think of who's playing better football than Akeem Hicks, and that's Aaron Donald, right? And Aaron Donald would be the only guy that you would say, like Hub said, is the most, Khalil Mack's the most dominant player he's seen in 4 or 5 years. Aaron Donald's in that conversation somewhere, right? So that's what kind of ball Akeem Hicks is playing, and to be honest, has been playing before Mack even got to town. So he played that kind of ball last year too. He's a handful in the middle, Cat, when you watch him. This guy is always running a guard over. Today, I thought that guy died when he chased down the screen and tackled that running back. I mean, he has been playing great football now for 2 years running. And how the Chicago Bears – I mean, credit Ryan Pace. How the Chicago Bears got Akeem Hicks and got him here to Chicago, and why people let him go, I'll never know. But sure, I'm glad the Bears got him. Now, as far as Howard goes, he's running great in the first half, right, Cap? And I go back to the first play. I think the Bears – first offensive play of the second half, right? And they give Howard an inside zone. And you just said the Bears need to figure out what Howard is. Listen, Howard gets inside zone and bounces it outside.
Can't do that.
Howard, you need to figure out what you are, okay? So if I'm the play caller, you've called plays. I call plays on a really little league level. If my running back bounces it outside, Cat, he's standing with me on the sideline, right? Because if you call an inside zone, And I'm the coach, and I'm Nagy, and that's Jordan Howard, I need you to get me 3 or 4 yards. I don't need you to bounce outside and lose 3. So now, guess what you just did? Pissed off the play caller and lost his confidence, right? That's just my guess. I'm not saying that's what happened. But when I watched the game tonight, they were in a flow. They call inside zone to start the second half, which is working well, and Howard bounces it outside. Now you lose 3 yards, and Nagy's saying, I can't go back to that.
Right.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Donald, because actually if the MVP award was tomorrow, Donald would win it, in part because of the basically two games with injury and then the game he played hurt that Mack missed out on. But, you know, at the end of the day, what's interesting about them is that Donald does it with incredible speed and quickness and his motor, just his intensity, whereas Mack, for a guy his size, is as physically dominating as anybody I've ever seen it. And Hicks is too, but I mean, Hicks, I kind of get he's 330 pounds. Khalil Mack is 255, and he is killing 300 and 320 pounders. I don't know how he does that.
Yeah, Hicks is just like a bulldozer. You know, he gets his hands, he's very good at using his hands and very good at using his size. He lays on guys, he pushes through guys, he's able to get his hands on your wrist and keep you from getting your hands on him. So, you know, it's a different type of beast. You have to prepare differently for each one of those guys. But, you know, Mac off the edge is just kind of like the full package right now. He has the ability to dip and get around you. As soon as you seem like you figured that out, he's coming back to the inside underneath you. And if you figure that out, he has the ability to run you right over with leverage. So, you know, he's the full package.
Yeah, we're talking about the former defensive player of the year, right? I mean, this guy didn't come out of nowhere. He's been doing this for a while. And remember, when the Vikings looked good, I think it was on their first drive, Cat and Hub, remember who causes the fumble on a run play. Yeah. It's Khalil Mack. It's not only the pressure he's putting on quarterbacks. It's the huge plays he's making in every game to change the course of a game. And nothing changes the course of the game like turnovers, right? The Vikings are slowly moving the ball on the Bears. They get in a first down, which kind of shocks everybody. They get another first down, which kind of shocks everybody. And guess who dips inside the tight end and puts his helmet or shoulder pad right on the ball and then causes the fumble and recovers the fumble? Unless I'm mistaken, I think he's leading the league in that.
Yeah.
So this guy not only dominates games but makes game-changing plays for his team, and he's fun to watch, man.
Yes, yeah, that was his fifth forced fumble, and I believe he's recovered three of them himself. Let's get to another. We got back-to-back Mikes. Mike is out in Rockford now. Mike, thank you for dialing us up. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Here's my question, guys. Okay, the Bears are 7-3. They're in the driver's seat. If they win Thursday, and they should, they'd be 8-3. Then they've got the Giants and the 49ers. Giants are coming to life a little bit, but I still think they can handle the Giants and the 49ers. That would put them at 10-3. Now, Hub, what do you think after that? They've got the Packers, the Vikings again, and the Rams. Those are the three potential losses. And then the other two teams they play, I don't know who they are, but they could potentially be 12-4. Do you see that any overconfidence going into this Thursday game against Detroit? Do you think it might be a overlooked game? They're going to go in there, they're tired, they might still be a little overconfident of this win they did tonight, Hub. What do you think?
Mike, the other two games are the Giants and the 49ers. I don't know about overconfidence. I don't know these kids well enough. I'm not in the locker room with them all day long. I do know that I have done the national radio broadcast of the last 12 Thanksgiving Day games in Detroit. For some reason, I'm going to New Orleans this year, but I've been in Detroit the last 12 years. The Lions are a different team on Thanksgiving Day at home than the team that you saw here last week. The Lions were a different team today against Carolina at home than the team you saw here last week. So, you know, today is over now. Now they got to get ready for Thursday. I'm not making a pick right now. I don't know. I probably will pick the Bears, but it's not overconfidence that bothers me so much. It's the NFL. I mean, you know, this is the Lions, according to today, and certainly at home on Thanksgiving, are not a laydown, guys. And so I don't think you look at it that way. Now you go back to the tape of last week against the Lions. You take what was left in the game plan, and you put it together, and you hope that these guys physically are ready to go. I think they had three guys being evaluated for concussions after the game. You got, you know, bumps and bruises. You guys can speak to this a lot better than I can. Mm-hmm. Bumps and bruises 7 days later on Sunday are a lot easier to go with than they are on Thursday.
Yeah. You know, one thing, Kat, that gives me confidence in this game, and I wonder what you think about this. Coach Nagy seems to have a great feeling for his team and what buttons to press and how to get them to play and how to get them up for the game. And he kind of resets their mind. And when you start winning, Cat, like, you know, winning's a disease, man. Like, you start buying in. Everything your coach is saying seems to be working. Right. Look, Matt Nagy, I wouldn't doubt if he said, look, Cody Parkey, you're going to seal this game or win this next game for us. Some seasons have storybooks to them, man. And Coach Nagy seems to know exactly what to say. Now, the broadcast, everybody's been saying, I don't think the Bears have a starter over 30 years old.
Right.
Cat, when I was 25 or 26, wake me up the next day. Give me my pads and let me play, right? Hey, when you get to 32, 33, don't wake me up the next day. Give me 5 or 6 extra hours of sleep. I don't want to practice on Wednesday. So I'm not worried about this team. There's a lot of young guys. And here's a game when both teams are coming Sunday to Thursday. Here is a game where a coach like Matt Nagy goes to talk to Jordan Howard and says, look, you set the tempo to this game. We're going to hand you the ball and you come down. Anyway, all I'm trying to say is I think Coach Nagy gets this team ready to play like he has been doing all year.
And I think, you know, with what you're saying right now, you're right. But I think it is up to the coaches, and he should do a good job of this, about what they do this week, about what they do leading into the game as far as how hard they have to practice and the things that they have to get done as far as so they can go in and beat Detroit. Like you said earlier, going into Detroit is a totally different monster than playing Detroit in Chicago.
Right. Yep.
Being able to hear in that dome when things are either going good or going bad. To start the game off, that place is going to be loud on Thanksgiving. And they're going to have to come out ready to go and, you know, play hard.
And you're talking about a coach who said, look, my guys ain't playing the last couple preseason games. Right. I don't care what all you guys say. So I'm thinking he's resting his guys this week. I'm thinking they got a few walkthroughs to go through. And I'm thinking that this staff had this game plan ready last week. And they know how they're going to attack the Lions. They know what they're going to do. They're not going to do much. These guys are going to rest. Look, Roquan Smith is young. Mack is young. Hicks is young. If you're the Lions, this Bears defense is the last defense I want to face at home on Thanksgiving. And defense is travel. You can win with defense everywhere you go. So the Bears, I don't care when they played, they're going to be a handful Thursday night and Thanksgiving.
312-644-6767, our phone number. We've got a line open if you want to join the conversation. We're going to take one more call before we take a quick break for the top of the hour. That's going to be Vince out in Melrose Park. Vince, how you doing?
Hey, boys. So I wanted to actually just echo actually what Olin was just talking about in regards to Nagy having the players ready to play. I really come away from this game feeling really optimistic about the Bears' future. You know, I came into it not really knowing, you know, what the team was, what kind of expectations I should have going into the game just as a fan in general. And now that the game is over, I really feel good about the direction that the Bears are going in. I'm not exactly sure how many more years we have guys like Akeem Hicks and Amu Kamara and things like that, but just in general, I feel really optimistic. I think that Mitchell Trubisky, once he gets his accuracy down and once he kind of stops making those, you know, poor decisions with the ball, he'll be, you know, a really great quarterback for the Bears, and I think that they'll be a contender going forward for the next few years. And I just come away from this game, I feel like the coach really has them ready to go, and I was just curious to see if you guys, what you guys thought about that.
Well, Vince, for the two guys you mentioned specifically, Amu Kamara signed a new 3-year deal this year, so two more years after this year. Akeem Hicks got a 4-year extension last year, so he's around for a while. The only significant players that will be free agents at the end of the year are right tackle Bobby Massey and slot corner Bryce Callahan and Adrian Amos. Those three, everybody else is under contract, most of them for multiple years, but everybody for at least another year after next year. So they're in pretty good shape that way. Guys, any other thoughts on Vince's call?
I mean, I just find it amazing to go back and, you know, 2 years ago we were talking about how little talent they had on this team, you know, and now you look at it and we're talking about the guys that they've got locked up for the next 3 or 4 years that are really going to help this team moving forward. You know, not even mentioning, you know, whoever they're able to pick up in this draft or in free agency that's coming up. So, I mean, you know, when I look at it right now, the arrow's pointing up and they're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing, and I hate to do this because it's like when a pitcher has a no-hitter in the eighth and you're like, hey, man, you know you got a no-hitter, right? So anyway, I hate to do this, but because I think we haven't mentioned it yet this year, the Bears have been healthy this year, right? And so their depth really hasn't been tested that much. When they did have a key injury, it was against a couple teams that the teams you wanted to play when you had a few injuries. And one thing we haven't mentioned enough, I think, is they changed their strength and conditioning coach, right? And I think they brought a guy in from Washington State. I don't know his name. It's good when you don't look up the strength coach's name because you're wondering who the hell is training these guys and where are all these damn injuries coming from. And the strength coach is kind of like an old lineman, Cat. If you don't know his name, it's a good thing. So credit to them for making a lot of changes where they thought they needed to make change. Everybody's by their key guys are healthy. They're playing at full strength. They look strong late in the year. Going to week 11, they look pretty good, right? So a lot of depth hasn't been tested as of yet, Kat, right? But if you're just talking about where the Bears are, they got a young team. They got their young quarterback. They're 7-3 right now, and they're looking pretty damn good for the future.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. Half hour in the books. We got an hour and a half to go. Plenty of time for lots of calls. 312-644-6767. You want to come out and have a cold Bud Light with us? We are at the Piazza in Aurora, 85 Executive Drive, southwest corner of Fox River Valley Mall. And it is thanks to our friends at Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. There are still Bud Light specials here this evening. And, guys, if you have not been here for a sporting event, these 36-foot high-def TVs are unbelievable. What a great place to watch the game. This place was rocking tonight. It's thinned out a little bit now, but a great, great place to be. Hopefully we will be back. Hopefully you will all be back. I know we'll be back with this program in just a minute on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.